language where you begin a sentence with the word in and then emphasize it.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes, always. I'm already past that. In fact, get me a jury and show me how you can say in July and I will sing a song for you. That is absolutely idiotic. That is just stupid, impossible, meaningless. I'd love to know just how you would emphasize in July.
Well, then let's change that to every July.
No, you don't really mean every July, do you? Who said that?
I did.
Who the hell are you? What, now I have two directors telling me how to read in July? That's bad copy. Of course it's every July.
We should move on to the next commercial.
This is crazy. You don't know what I'm up against. This is quite weary. It is all quite unpleasant. And I thought we had done these spots before. In fact, I distinctly remember recording them before.
No, you did, Mr. Wells. The sponsor wants fresh takes.
Fresh takes? What on earth for? I'm Orson Welles. I did it right the first time. Why waste my time and their money on such a useless exercise?
Well, I'm not sure. Sales just said to get it done.
Sales? Sales? They are as bad as lawyers. I swear, if they could turn a buck, they would shake a tambourine and strum a banjo to make a sale. What do they care if they are wasting my time?
Mr. Wells, we really do need to finish these up.
Here, under protest, is beef burgers. Hello, I'm Orson Welles. We know a little place in America, far west, where a man named Charlie Biggs, who chops up the finest prairie-fed sirloin beef for burgers. This is a bunch of crap. You know that, don't you?
Actually, Mr. Wells, you missed a word there.
What word?
Beef.
Come on, fellas. You're both losing your heads here. I wouldn't direct any living actor like this in Shakespeare. The way you do this is impossible.
Mr. Wells, the right reading for this is...
I am giving the right reading here. I spend 20 times more doing these commercials for you than I do for anyone else. And on top of it, you are such pests. Now, I have two directors telling me what to do. I don't even like it when one director gets in my sights. The way you want this stupid commercial read is impossible. Simply impossible.
Mr. Wells, you did 6 of these for us last year.
Seems more like 72. What is it you want? In the depths of your ignorance, whatever it is, I cannot and will not deliver. All the money in the world would not be worth what you're putting me through.
Mr. Wells, we still need to record the first one you did 2 hours ago.
Why? There was nothing wrong with that one. Why are you putting me through this? One more word out of you and then you go. And then... Now... Why are you being so unbearable about doing that one again? I take direction under protest, and not from two. Now, I do this all under protest.
That one had a gunk.
What is a gunk? Do you mind telling me?
A bang from outside.
A bang from outside. A wake-up call, perhaps, for me. I must endure morons like this and the incredibly abominable squandering of time and talent, if only for a respite from these gunks, this clattering cacophony, a simple yet serene place to get away, a place with answers, not questions. Perhaps I have just come up with a solution.
And good morning, everyone. The WGTD Radio Theater is on the air in its 11th season, and this is our 94th live original broadcast. So sit back and enjoy another installment of The Kane Shadow in A Roaring Murder. Today we broadcast live from the Geneva Lake Museum in beautiful Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. The museum just opened a special exhibit about the Roaring Twenties, and we're here to help them celebrate. The Kane Shadow was created and written by Stephen Brown and Michael Ostrup and stars members from the 91.1 Players, and today's show is directed by Vicky Dumais. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan, the Geneva Lake Museum in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and the Brown Oster Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem, Wisconsin. And now, The Kane Shadow.
Hello?
May I please speak to Mr. Wells?
Who?
Mr. Wells. Mr. Orson Wells. Sheesh.
Oh, okay. Mr. Wells, phone's for you.
Oh, great. Another interruption by modern technology. I sure it's not a gunk. Hello, I'm Orson Wells.
Mr. Wells, it's Jeanette.
And that just makes my day. After this catastrophe you booked me into, what can I do for you, dear Jeanette?
Hey, don't take this out on me. It's not my fault that these idiots in Chicago can't get their commercial right. It was your brainstorm to do that commercial in flyover country in the first place.
Oh, you are so right, dear Jeanette. Thank you so much, Jeanette, for assisting me with that. After all, you are my assistant.
That's right, big boy, and don't forget it.
So, Jeanette, what can I do for you?
Well, since you never bothered to check in with me so that I can assist you, I thought I'd call and make sure you were where you were supposed to be.
Oh, yes, I'm here, dear Jeanette, remaking this lousy commercial.
You know what you need?
Oh, what, pray tell, would that be?
You're so close to Kenosha. You should take a drive home, have a steak at the Hobnob, and get some R&R in before you come back to L.A.
As much as Jeanette can drive me up the wall with her incessant hovering, both literally and figuratively, she is the best assistant I ever had. And she was definitely on spot with this suggestion. If it doesn't upset your too much that you'd have to change my travel plans, I might just do that.
Oh, my. You're showing concern. I'll call the airline and change your flights and get you a room up there.
Wait, Jeanette. On second thought, why don't you book me in Lake Geneva at Baker House? I haven't been there in years, and I would avoid the hubbub of Kenosha.
Kenosha? Has hubbub?
Just book the room.
Yes, Mr. Wells. Anything and everything you say, Mr. Wells.
Thank you, dear Jeanette. What would I ever do with you, lovely Jeanette?
Sleep in your car. Check in with me when you get there.
Enough of that. But she had a point. I do need some R&R, as she so aptly said. I don't have anything on my calendar, at least nothing that couldn't be rescheduled, and she does need more to do, so I left for Lake Geneva and avoided that nasty little town, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Boys, I'm done here. There's a steak and a bottle of Cabernet with my name on it at Baker House.
But Mr. Wells, we're not done yet. We have all had to get rid of all that.
Yes, that gunk. I'm sure you two, with all that wonderful technology at your disposal, will figure out what to do without needing me at my hourly rate. And off I go. I took the scenic route to Lake Geneva, if there was one. I wasn't in any hurry. As I drove through the rolling hills of southern Wisconsin, I thought back on all the bootlegging that went around here back in the day. All the people that came up from Chicago to spend time at the lakes, big and small, needed their refreshments. And all the gangsters followed them up here. Babyface Nelson, Al Capone, Bugs Moran, they all came up here. Well, you can see Al Capone's house on Volts Lake in Salem. It's never really been confirmed that it was his house, but a huge brick Chicago bungalow right on the lake? Come on! Had to be his. So many of the old hotels and restaurants had speakeasies in the basement, many with escape tunnels just in case the feds raided the place. These tunnels are all over southeast Wisconsin. Lake Geneva, Lake Como, up in Burlington. what people will do for a drink. I drove into town. Place has never changed. Charming downtown. All kinds of shops and diners. I, on the other hand, require more than a burger and a Coke. I found my way to Baker House and parked the car, walked in the door and to the front desk.
May I help you, sir?
Why, yes, you may. I'd like to check in.
And your name, sir?
I'm Orson Welles.
I'm afraid there's no reservation for a Mr. Welles, sir.
What? Jeanette, may I use your phone, miss?
This is the office of Orson Welles. Jeanette speaking.
Jeanette.
Mr. Welles.
Yes, I'm Orson Welles. Oh, yes, I'm at the Baker House.
Okay, what's wrong?
What could possibly be wrong, Jeanette? Why would anything be wrong, Jeanette? I drive all the way from that miserable recording session in Chicago, the umpteenth time I've had done that recording session, mind you, arrive here in Lake Geneva at the Baker House, and find that they have no reservation for me. What am I supposed to do now, Jeanette?
Just simmer down before you have some kind of stroke or something. Put that desk clerk on the phone.
Miss, would you please mind talking to my secretary who bungled this whole situation?
Of course. This is the front desk.
Yes, and to whom am I speaking?
Why, this is Bernice.
Ah, yes, Bernice. We talked earlier, remember? My name is Jeanette. Secretary for Mr. Orson Welles, calling from Los Angeles, California.
Oh, yes, I remember you.
Ah, I knew you would. You seemed so competent when we talked earlier. So just how in the world could you make this mistake, you bozo? You take a reservation and then lose it? What kind of complete idiot are you?
But Miss, I remember taking that reservation. And, in fact, I set aside our best room for Mr. Welles. I don't know what could have happened. I'm looking through all the reservations right now.
George Orson!
And with that screech, that shrill caterwaul, that wail from the depths of hell, that cat in heat crying out, all my questions were answered. Grandmother.
It is you, Georgie Orson. I wasn't sure seeing you from behind, blocking my view of the entire lobby. What brings you to Lake Geneva? Some cute little acting job at the community theater? You are still trying this acting notion of yours, aren't you?
Yes, you member of the Walking Dead. Grandmother, I'm still doing what I can in the acting business, and I'm here to relax a bit after recording some commercials in Chicago.
Commercials? How pedestrian. Is this what you have become, George Orson? Ordinary? You could have been a lawyer, an industrialist. Instead, you are an actor.
Yes, Grandmother. Nothing but a disappointment. But don't let me keep you and your, what are we calling them these days? Friend?
Stop it, George Orson. I do not have to explain myself to you. John and I are spending a few days here, and they just happen to have a wonderful room available here at the Baker House.
Oh, John.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Welles? It's such a pleasure to meet you. I've seen all of your movies.
Of course you have.
Let's go, John. We're having cocktails at Bitsy's.
Yes, please go. At least we know what happened to my room. So, Bernice, did you and Jeanette get everything worked out?
Oh, yes, we did, Mr. Welles. And I'm so sorry for the mix-up. Please, be my guest at our bar in the next room.
I have my bags turning up to my room. I'll take you up on that offer before that gets bungled, too. I walked into the bar. The bar ran the length of the room. On the left was a rather large pink Japanese parasol under which sat a most mysterious woman, sipping a martini, straight up, of course. She wore a simple black dress, long sleeve, a bit more décolletage than appropriate for daytime or Lake Geneva, but nothing too trashy. A diamond pendant and earrings seemed a bit out of place. Shouldn't wear diamonds in the country. A black, wide-brim hat with a wide satin band around it covered her longish blonde hair. She had the hat cocked to one side with a netting pulled down just below her eyes. The black heels, stockings, the black gloves completed the outfit. She sat there, legs crossed, gloved hand holding her glass, staring into oblivion. Or was she?
Mr. Wells, what on earth are you doing here?
Rodney, since when did you start working here?
Well, I've been here quite a while, Mr. Wells. Can always use a few extra hours. Just don't say anything about it, okay, Mr. Wells?
I never saw you, Rodney.
So, what can I do for you, Mr. Wells?
How about a Jack and water?
Coming right up. And by the way, a happy belated birthday. I know it was last month.
Thanks, Rodney. Yes, another year older. I sat at the far right of the bar. Do you have a light, Rodney?
You bet, Mr. Wells.
Thanks, Rodney. Say, Rodney, who's the blonde at the end of the bar?
Not sure. She got here maybe 20 minutes ago. Came right into the bar, sat down, and she's been nursing that martini ever since. By the way, vodka martini, Mr. Wells.
Ah, matches the diamonds.
I knew that would push a button, Mr. Wells.
You don't just see women like that in Lake Geneva, that's all.
True. I usually see just about everyone in town, it being a resort area and everything. You know how it is. Sun during the day and drinks in the evening. Everyone comes in here at least a few times during the season. Never saw her, though. Not exactly resort wear either.
No, not at all. Almost as though she came here for a specific purpose.
Could be. What brings you to Lake Geneva?
I was in Chicago re-recording some radio commercials. I tell you, Rodney, the level of incompetence in this business just boggles my mind. Can you imagine some sound technician giving me theatrical direction? That I didn't say something correctly? I never say anything unless I say it correctly.
Never known you to be any other way, Mr. Wells.
So anyway, I decided it long as I was there. I would take a little rest and relaxation here. Get out of the rat race that Los Angeles has become.
Makes sense, Mr. Wells.
It's always so restful here. Always has been. Always been the getaway for the Chicago elites.
It certainly has. You know, it's worked out for me, too, Mr. Wells.
Where are you from around here, Rodney?
Yes, sir. Well, we didn't live in Lake Geneva. Couldn't afford that coming from a big family, but we were out on a small farm just down the road. My dad had all kinds of jobs working at the resorts and doing a bit of farming, keeping us all as kids fed. Mr. Wells, that woman is coming over here.
Huh?
Excuse me, Mr. Wells?
Hello. I'm Orson Wells.
It's my pleasure, Mr. Wells.
The pleasure is all mine, and your...
Bethany. Bethany Lake.
Bethany. May I buy you dinner? I drove all the way here from Chicago, and I'm famished. I would enjoy some company. I obviously knew she was there to do more than pick me up, as tempted as she may have been.
Oh, Mr. Wells, I certainly appreciate your generous invitation, but I truly did not want to impose.
Madam, it's dinner, not a marriage proposal. Please, join me. You'd be doing me a favor. Rodney, send another round of drinks to our table. Miss Lake, we were shown to a table in one of the more elaborately decorated rooms in the restaurant.
Here are your drinks, Mr. Wells.
You're waiting on tables too, Bernice?
We're a very small establishment, Mr. Wells. We all do everything. It helps make sure we get to know our guests very well.
I can imagine.
Your menus?
I assume you have a steak and some sort,
Yes, Mr. Wells. It's a wonderful filet, in addition to all the very small plates we offer.
Small plates?
Yes, little plates with some delicious tastes of food.
Ah, yes, I understand. Small plates. How trendy. Madam, I don't do small plates. Taste samples, unless I'm in Barcelona, and then it better be with Franco himself. After all, I'm Orson Welles.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'll start with a Caesar salad, the house soup, and then this filet you have, medium rare, Miss Lake.
I'll try the salmon.
And a bottle of your best Cabernet.
Yes, Mr. Welles.
I apologize for my outburst, Miss Lake, but I don't do trends.
Apparently.
So, Miss Lake, why did you seek me out?
I'm in quite a spot, Mr. Welles, and I heard that you were in town.
How did you hear I was in town?
It's a small town, Mr. Welles. Word gets around fast. Your secretary was making calls all around Lake Geneva, making sure that everything was in place.
Thank you, Jeanette. As irritating as it is that I can't go anywhere without people knowing me, I do expect Jeanette to do exactly what she did. When I go somewhere, I want things done a certain way and to certain standards. I am Orson Welles. So, Miss Lake, how can I help you? What's this spot you're in?
I'm being accused of murder, Mr. Welles.
Miss Lake, you don't need me. You need an attorney.
But, Mr. Welles, I did it.
Miss Lake. Please, I'm flattered that you feel I'm the authority you can confess to, but confession should be said to a priest or the police.
Well, I must have done it. I mean, we were at the bar together, and frankly, we had a bit too much to drink. We left to find a cab, but when we were waiting on the street for a taxi to come by, he got fresh. His hands were all over me. I slapped him hard. In fact,
as
he fell to the ground.
Droned on about her little barroom brawl. I got to thinking about the wonderfully crazy place Lake Geneva used to be during the roaring 1920s. The roaring 20s, when the music was hot and the gin was cold and hopefully didn't make you blind. Those were the days when people ate well, drank well, partied till the crack of dawn and until 5 in the afternoon and then started all over again. And everyone was making money. Lake Geneva was a hotbed of fun in those days. Just like Rodney said, sun in the day and drinking at night. All night. Capone and all the boys were.
He was so strong. He heaved the door open in one big shove, which caused me to fall back into the next door. Mr. Welles? Mr. Welles, are you listening to me? I'm in terrible big trouble. You're not paying any attention. I have a nervous condition, Mr. Welles.
Trust me, Miss Lake, it's, I'm hanging on every little word you're saying. I wouldn't want to aggravate your nervous condition.
I just wanted to make sure, Mr. Welles. You know, my mother had the same condition, and in fact, she was in a sanitarium that used to be in the Baker House.
Oh, it runs in the family. What good news for the human gene pool. Now, start at the beginning. I want to know every little detail of your predicament. You're holding in that little blonde head of yours.
Well, it's like I was saying. The police are questioning me for the murder of my boyfriend.
Little you could kill someone.
Say, I could do it if I had to. I mean, I know how to shoot a gun.
Oh, I'm sure you do, Miss Lake. But what did your boyfriend die from?
Well, that's just the problem. They can't find the body.
No body? Miss Lake, please, don't waste my time if there's no body.
That's what I said. But the police said, Frankie's dead, and I did it.
Where do they say this all happened?
That's the problem. No one can say.
Miss Lake, please, you have no idea how you are trying my patience. If you want me to help you, you have to tell me everything. Remember, you sought me out.
Golly. I guess I'll have to. Okay. So, Frankie and me went to the juice joint over in Lake Como.
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah, now you're on the trolley. Say, we went there and we're dancing with, and you know...
You know what?
Drinking.
Shocking.
We was having a great time. The band was the Cat's Pajamas. It was getting sort of late.
Certainly.
Say, do you have a light?
Oh, certainly.
I guess I need a cigarette, too.
Genius. Please be my guest.
Thank you. As I was just so nervous about all of this, you know.
And you were saying...
Yeah, so we were drinking and dancing, and it was getting late. And all of a sudden, the feds are storming in. We all ran out the door to the tunnel. It was a big rush of people running in the dark. Frankie pulled me into this tunnel, and we ran down that way until we came out in the woods. There we were, in the woods, in the dark, and he starts to get fresh. Heck, I went along with it for a while. I mean, why not?
Indeed. Why not?
But then he tries to get, you know, really fresh. I told him, hey, Frankie, the bank's closed. But he wasn't taking that for an answer.
And then...
I felt a big rock on the ground next to me, and I took it, and I hit him with it.
Really?
Yeah. He called me something I can't repeat.
My. But do continue.
He was really mad and came back at me, so I hit him again. Only this time, he didn't get up.
Did you check on him?
Oh, yeah. He was groaning and holding his hand to his head. I ran down towards the lake and followed the shoreline back to the road, and then back to town.
Okay. I still don't see murder.
Mr. Wells! No one has seen Frankie ever since.
Dear Miss Lake, if he were dead, there would be a body. If you killed him with that rock, his body would be there where you left him.
The police said they found blood on some leaves and on the rock. I must have hit him with...
Well, he probably wandered off.
Please, Mr. Wells, you gotta help me.
Far be it for me to deny a damsel in distress. So I agreed to check into a few things. It had been a while since I did any detective work, and I am, of course, quite good at it. It would be a good break from the usual monotony of Los Angeles. Yes, Miss Lake, I will help you as best I can. Leave a number for me at which you can be reached.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Wells. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Now, where exactly is this juice joint?
Well, all I know is that it's near Lake Como. Frankie was the one who knew how to get there.
Very well, I'll find it. We'll be in touch, Miss Lake. I went back to my room to rest for a bit and think about a plan of attack. Of course, it's prohibition, so I just can't ask the bartender for some local advice. It then occurred to me, check at the boat launch. The mailboat pilot would know the latest news. I walked down to the boat launch near the arcade and saw a gentleman who was attending to the mailboat. But it couldn't be. Rodney!
Rodney? You mean me?
Oh, who else would I mean?
Well, my name's Orv. Rodney's my son, and he's just a bit shorter than I am.
I apologize, sir. How about that? Rodney's dad. Say, Orv, I have a question for you. Do you mind?
Nope. Ask away. Say... You look familiar. Are you the Orson Welles that everyone's been squawking about?
Why, yes, I'm Orson Welles.
Well, how about that? What are you doing down here? I mean, you probably have friends that can take you out on a boat better than the mailboat.
Yes, that's true, Orv, but it's not a boat ride that I'm after. It's information.
Oh?
Don't worry, Orv. Just trying to help out a young lady who got herself into a spot of trouble, that's all. I figure, who better to ask than the guy who sees everyone walk by sooner or later?
I guess that's true enough. How can I help you, Mr. Wells?
I heard the feds raided a speakeasy the other weekend.
Which weekend? There's always a raid in these parts.
Overlay Lake Como.
Oh, that one.
Yes, that one. What did you hear about that one?
Well, I heard about the raid. Nothing too unusual about that, I guess.
Feds here a lot?
Feds here a lot. Often, I guess.
Lots of rum running around here.
Oh, yeah. All the resorts from the state line on up to the Northwoods have to have some kind of liquor or beer, or at least know where they can get the guests to get some.
So, what about this murder?
Murder?
Come on, Orv, don't be coy. I'm just trying to help someone here who's in a lot of trouble, that's all.
Yeah, I know. It's just that I have a bunch of kids who need their dad, and me winding up at the bottom of one of these lakes won't help them, Mr. Wells.
I understand, Orv. But all I'm asking for is the latest gossip. It's not as though I'm a complete stranger. After all, I'm Orson Welles.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
So?
So, yeah, I heard about the murder. That some dame with one of the best set of gams did it.
You buy that?
Anything could happen. But the guy that was killed, Frankie, he was a real player around here. Some of the muscle for one of the gangs.
Oh?
Yeah, my boss was telling me about him.
Your boss here?
No, I got a side job at her joint. The one on Lake Como. Irene's her name. She owns the place. Was seeing him.
Oh. Did Irene see Frank carrying on with this Bethany?
Bethany?
Oh, yeah. The girl that's accused of murdering Frank.
Oh, okay. No, not sure. I was sending bar and it was too busy for me to notice too much it being this season and all. Irene is usually upstairs helping with lookout. Trust me to help keep things to get orderly.
So what happened?
I and another guy were tending bar. The place was jammed with people. Band was loud. Place was really hopping. Oh, it was maybe one in the morning when the raid started flashing.
Who turns that on?
One of the lookouts.
Do you know who it was?
Nope.
So then...
Everybody knows the routine. The other guy and I started getting people towards the door to the tunnel and getting the liquor underneath the floorboards.
And you saw Frank leave with this girl?
Yeah. He was leading her by the hand. They were sort of pickled, but they were moving along. He was tucking in his shirt, and he was running out the door, and she was buttoning up her blouse.
Oh?
Oh, yeah. It was cash night for him.
And you're sure it was Frank leaving with Bethany?
Oh, yeah. That was Frank, all right. He was stopping in to talk to Irene.
Are you sure he got out into the tunnel?
Yes, he and the brunette.
Brunette? Bethany is a blonde.
No mistake about it. Frank left with a brunette.
When Orv got off his shift, we drove to Irene's place on Lake Como. Big place. Looked like a huge old lake house. Orv took me over to the side of the house where the land sloped down and exposed a door to the basement. He used a key to open the door, and we walked in.
Irene, you here?
Orv, is that you?
Yeah, and I have a guest.
Well, I hope he's okay.
Irene, I'd like you to meet Mr. Orson Welles.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Welles? Welcome to my home.
He knows about this place, Irene.
So, Mr. Welles, what can I help you with? We don't open for a few hours yet, but I can serve you a drink all the same.
Why, thank you, Irene. It'd be nice to chat over a drink. I always seem to have to go to Toronto to do that.
Well, what do you have? I've got it all.
Scotch.
Well, you'll have to take what I've got. They don't make that stuff in Canada either.
Fine by me. Neat.
Here you go.
Thank you, madam. So, what happened with this raid the other night?
What do you care?
Well, frankly, I don't. None of my business. Except I'm helping someone who's been accused of the murder that night.
Why?
She's pretty. And I get weak in the knees for a pretty girl.
Well, at least you're honest about it.
Only way I know how to be, Irene. She's just a dumb kid who got in over her head a bit.
This is that girl accused of the murder?
Yeah. What all did happen that night?
Oh, nothing too strange, to be honest. The place was packed, but it's summer. Everyone's up for the season. Didn't quite expect a raid that night. But if you're in this business, you gotta deal with it.
And you saw this Frank character run out?
No, I didn't. I was up on the second floor doing lookout with a few of the guys.
You don't watch the door?
Sometimes. That night I didn't. Orv knows what to do down here.
And the feds didn't find anything?
Never have yet. It's not the easiest place to find, especially at night. And then we can see everything coming down the driveway from the road. We even had them try and surprise us from the lake once. We're not that dumb. Been doing this a long time. Besides, I've got competition. Plenty of juice joints around here, and no one goes in for a place that always gets raided.
So you never saw Frank that night?
I saw him when he got here. He came upstairs. I didn't have time for him. I have a business to run. He left in a huff.
He came back down here?
Oh, I guess. I did hear he was carrying on with some girl. Typical.
And they left together?
I guess. Orv, you saw them leave, right?
That's right.
The only one tunnel out of here?
Oh, there are a couple. Plus the doors. Plus some folks, my regulars, know to come upstairs. One of the tunnels splits.
Where do they end?
Both out into the woods, one near the lake and the other near this old cabin.
I'd like to follow these tunnels, if you don't mind, Irene.
Be my guest.
Okay, if I have Miss Lake join us.
Oh, fine by me. In fact, let's make it a field trip for all of us.
I called Bethany, and she came right over. It was quite the expedition. Irene, Orv, Bethany, and myself. As we walked down the steps from the bar into the first tunnel, it was only about 5.5 feet high in there, and only wide enough for not much better than one person across. It was pitch black. So we held hands, with Irene leading the way, and Orv taking up the rear. So, Bethany, is any of this familiar?
Yeah, it was dark, just like this.
How astute. We could see a faint light coming. Thank goodness it was the middle of the afternoon. I can't imagine what it would be like coming out of these tunnels in the middle of the night.
Oh, this is where the tunnel splits. Now, which do you want to take first?
Let's take the one that goes to the cabin. Bethany, do you remember seeing a cabin?
No, Mr. Wells. I was too scared of getting caught by the cops.
We found our way to the end of the tunnel and came out into the woods. I could see the old cabin just a short distance away.
There's the cabin.
We all walked through the woods to the door of the cabin.
Oh, it sounds like someone is in there. Orv, you have your keys?
Yes, ma'am.
Orv carefully put one of his keys into the locked door and opened it.
Who's there?
Oh, no. It can't be. Please, Lord on high, make this not so.
Oh, Mary, I'm sorry. I had no idea you were here today.
Rosebud, who are these people?
Oh, well, let me pull the sheet up over us first. Well, Frank, the one with the horrified look on his face, is my grandson, the great George Orson Welles.
Orson Welles is your grandson? Oh, wow, I'm so glad to meet you, Mr. Welles.
Please, Frank, don't get up.
The woman there is the owner around here. Irene and I go way back.
Oh, I thought we had a signal worked out, Mary. I would never have walked in on you like this.
Well, we were just so carried away with passion, I forgot.
The only thing that should carry you away, Grandmother, is a hearse.
The gentleman there is Orv. He tends bar in the establishment.
Who's the blonde?
Isn't she the one you left the club with the other night?
I left with Rosebud here. I have no idea who this woman is.
Bethany, isn't this Frank?
That's not my Frank.
Oh, great. Back to the tunnel. But one other thing, Grandmother. Who's Rosebud?
Why,
Rosebud's just a little pet name that Frank here calls me.
That word shall ever haunt me.
Wow, that was some daydream, Mr. Wells.
Oh, I'll tell you, Rodney, I can't even have a pleasant daydream without that woman showing up.
Whatever happened to that woman you had dinner with?
Miss Lake. I told her to hire a real detective and get a good lawyer. I need to get back to Los Angeles and rest. These Lake Geneva adventures are just too much.
Hello? Sure, he's right here. Mr. Wells, it's for you.
Hello, I'm Orson Wells.
It's about time you answered the phone. I've been calling all over the place. How do you expect me to have things ready for you when I can never find you? Now, when do you want to come back? It's summer, you know, and the flights are all full.
Rodney, another bourbon, and make it quick.
And this has been The Cane Shadow, A Roaring Murder. The Cane Shadow is created and written by Stephen Brown and Michael Ostrup. And today we broadcasted live from the Geneva Lake Museum in beautiful, very beautiful Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. The museum just opened a special exhibit about the Roaring Twenties, so do stop in and check out all the amazing items they have on display from that fun time in American history, except for the booze, of course. Starring today were members from the 91.1 Players, Chris Brooks, who played Mary Head Wells, Renee Bouchel as the speakeasy owner, and Irene, Todd Eaves as a sound engineer, and John, Susan Fuhrer as the hotel desk clerk, and Bernice, and as Orson Welles, John Alexi, as Bethany Lake, Janelle Powers, Larry Rowe played the role of sound engineer one, and Frank. Cameron Spencer played the dual role of Rodney and Orv. And Kathy Zolke played the role of Jeanette. The Cane Shadow was directed by Vicky Dumay. Also on our production crew, besides myself, Steve Brown, were Dave Janzer as our chief engineer, Chuck Janzer as our audio director, and handling all of our live sound effects, Mike Ostrup. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan, the Geneva Lake Museum in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and the Brown Ostrup Performing Arts Foundation located in Salem, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Saturday, August 8th, when the WGTD Radio Theater presents another special show. And then also from Lake Lawn Resort in beautiful Delavan on October 3rd, November 7th, and November 12th, we'll have the WGTD Radio Theater. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players, I'm Steve Brown. Thank you so much for listening to The Cane Shadow, A Roaring Murder.
Thank you.